You're listening to episode 2.52 of the Midlife Improvement Project, and on this week's episode, I'm chatting with Gerds Hundahl, a trauma coach and inner work expert who will remind you that you are powerful and that you can trust yourself on the path to a happier, healthier, and more peaceful life. Let's go. Welcome to the Midlife Improvement Project, a podcast about what really matters as you negotiate midlife. Some might call this time of life a crisis, but I want to introduce you to the idea that it's an awakening. This is a time to listen to your soul, to find your purpose, to reflect on what you really want to do and be in the days you have left here on planet Earth, and then write your own midlife manifesto. You are not less of yourself on the other side of midlife. You are more. I'm your midlife wake-up coach, Dr. Peggy Malone. I'm a healthcare provider turned life coach who helps women in midlife lean into the magic of being a woman as we head into the second half. I help you to decide where you want to go next with this one precious life and really claim all of your big dreams and goals while caring less about what anyone else thinks about it. After all, if someone is going to be unhappy with your life, it shouldn't be you. In 2023, I reached the milestone of turning 50, and I want to use this podcast as my midlife manifesto. There will be no fading into the background and quietly living out my golden years with the assumption that my best years are behind me over here. I'm just getting started. I invite you to come with me. Listen in each week as I help you to wake up to what's possible for you in midlife as you learn to increase your self-awareness and your confidence, get curious about what got you here, and get clear about where you want to go next on the way to being an even better you. Let's get after it. Well, hello, friends. Before we get into another awesome interview today, I want to let you know about a masterclass that I will be participating in next week that you may also be interested in. You've heard me talk about how midlife is a time of awakening, and as I'm going through my own midlife awakening, it is my hope that you will walk this path with me and be inspired and encouraged to grow into a new version of yourself. It is also my hope that I can share some tools and strategies along the way to help you decide who you want to be on the other side of this midlife awakening and help you to get to that new and improved version of you. It's the version of you that I like to say has woken up and is living her life 2.0. My friend Lori Lisai is teaching a free masterclass on Tuesday, April 23rd called Midlife by Design, How to Fill Your Next 10 Years with Passion and Purpose Through the Magic of Human Design. You may remember Lori from episode 2.45. In that episode, she shared the basics of human design and how to get to know yourself better using this tool. You can always go back and re-listen if you haven't heard that episode or if you're not sure what I'm talking about. In next week's masterclass, she is going to teach us more about human design than we were able to get to in the podcast back in January, including the A+ frequency framework she developed to help people not only learn about their design, but actually live it. This class is free and it will revolutionize the way you approach redefining yourself in midlife. If you're ready to dive into this powerful tool that will teach you how to make confident, aligned decisions, grow fulfilling relationships, and ignite your passion and purpose, head to lorilisai.com/midlife-by-design-masterclass. Now that seems like a mouthful, so if you didn't get that or if you can't find it, go to the link in my show notes and you can find it there. I'm signed up for this masterclass and I hope that you will come and check it out too. Mark your calendars for April 23rd at 7 p.m. Eastern and I'll see you there. All right, let's get into today's interview. Gerds is a trauma coach and inner work expert for high-achieving women. Her mission is to empower them to transform trauma and trust themselves so they can powerfully move forward in their life. With 11 years experience in trauma healing, boundaries, and inner child work, women come to Gerds for advice, guidance, and tools to become happier, healthier, and peaceful through her Infinite Trust Method and Rise Up Sister VIP Day, and so much more. Her community is powerful and full of awesome sisters, growing, evolving, and healing. For 2 years, Gerds has studied the ancient wisdom of women and the wounds of patriarchy to help them stand in their power and reclaim parts of themselves that they had lost, forgotten, or abandoned. Gerds is no stranger to trauma. She has healed many things in her life, including childhood trauma, depression, anxiety, and an eating disorder. Gerds has healed familial, ancestral, cultural, societal, relationship, and first generational trauma. Gerds is committed to helping women feel seen, heard, and understood. Her podcast was named one of the best Inner Peace podcasts 2020, and she was interviewed on Hay House Radio.
Do you ever feel like you know what you want to do and be in this life, but you just feel blocked or you don't trust yourself to do what is necessary to move toward what you have been dreaming of? My guest today is here to remind you that you are powerful, that you have inner wisdom inside of you, that you can heal from your past, and that you can trust yourself on the path to a happier, healthier, and more peaceful life. Let's do this. Gerds, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you for having me. I love the fact that you're in London as well, but in a completely different country.
Yes, isn't it great that we're both in London? Love it. All right. Why don't you start by telling my listeners and me a little bit about yourself and your story?
Sure. Oh, gosh. So I'm a trauma coach and inner work expert for women. So I help women to transform trauma and learn to trust themselves so they really can powerfully move forward in their life. I'm actually originally a former journalist, which I walked away 11 years ago from a career in health journalism and went on this deep, like my own deep transformation of doing the inner work. So, like, I had a lot of wounds that I didn't realize. And a lot of the time we think, no, there's nothing wrong with us. But then as you go down the healing work, you actually realize there is so much wounds within ourselves, and like it's okay, we just have to work on them. So I have spent the last 11 years healing father wounds, mother wounds, sister wounds, my own relationship with money, relationship with myself, and so much more. But it all happened in 2012 when I, like I said, I was in a career that I wasn't happy anymore, and I was sat in the hospital. I'd had a lot of health problems at that time, and I was waiting back for some results for a cancer situation. And I sat there, you know, when you feel like you're in the victim mode, what have I done to deserve this? And I heard a voice go, "You created this." And I looked around the room and I was like, "There's no one there. I must be going crazy." And then when they misdiagnosed me, I ran out of the hospital and I heard the words, "It's time to heal." And I have never looked back. That was the shift of my life back in 2012. And I have just been on this journey of deep inner work and then just discovering what I was here to do. And it always led to down to helping others to heal. Like, I've done it my whole life. It's always been part of my journey, Peggy. So yeah, this is how I ended up doing the work that
Amazing. Okay, I've got questions. Okay, so
I do.
let's just start with sort of like the bigger picture, and you can sort of weave some of your story into it, as I'm sure you will. What do you think? This podcast is typically listened to by women. Obviously, there's other humans that are listening as well, but what do you think holds women back from trusting themselves?
It's generational trauma, but also it's patriarchal trauma and society trauma and cultural trauma, which I'll explain in a sec. So, you know, growing up, we have generational trauma where women, if you look back at your ancestry, didn't have a voice. You know, there was a point in our ancestry that the women in our family couldn't even buy their own home. They didn't even have their own money, right? So there's a lot of fear that is based within women, especially when it comes to being independent and really loving themselves, because we've spent generations before being told not to love ourselves and to focus on the family and focus on the kids and the husband. So a lot of women don't realize that it's not their fault the way they feel. It's deeply rooted, and we have to pull that out in order to set ourselves free. But again, it's cultural. You know, we grow up, and with boys, for example, they don't have it easy because, like, they get told they need to toughen up. But for women and young girls especially, don't do this, don't do that, sit this way, hey, behave this way, put on a good show, smile, never, never shout, never scream. You know, good girls don't do that. So we've been conditioned from such a young age to be something we're not. And as we get older, we're then taught within, like, the work environment, be a man. So now we're trying to toughen up and be an alpha male. And then we're like, what the fuck is happening with us? By my language. Like, you know, we then get so confused. Then we have, like, you know, we have like a midlife crisis or a quarter life crisis. And then we're thinking, what's wrong with me? Then we look at the external side of us and they think maybe we should change externally instead of internally. And again, society again has conditioned women not to speak their truth. So all of it is generational, and it's cultural and society, and it's something that a lot of us, like, don't realize that we have. And I didn't know that growing up. I grew up in Indian culture, and oh my God, what a people-pleasing sacrifice environment for a young girl. My God, of course I didn't know who I was, because everyone else was telling me who I was, right? And so when I started to peel off the layers and understand culturally what happened to me, society, what happened to me, ancestral, looking at my family, the patterns of the women, then I set myself free. And that's the key. When we look back at our patterns, then we can finally trust in ourselves, because there's no blockages anymore. So even with the work that I do, I help my clients to heal all of that. And then we work on boundaries. Then we, oh, sorry, what's happening to my dog? Charlie.
Oh,
You agree with that, don't you, Charlie? So once we heal the past, then we look at boundaries, then it's able to have boundaries, then you're able to love yourself. But when the past is holding us back, we go up and down with boundaries and self-love. And that's why it's never consistent.
Wow. You know, exactly what you're saying, obviously mixed signals from every direction. We're not going to be able to trust anything when people are saying, do this, no, just kidding, do that. So you've mentioned that you help people heal from their past and to get past these, generational conditionings. So what do you do to help people heal from their past, or how can I, or how can listeners heal from their past?
Sure. So I have like two ways of work that I do. So I do like a VIP day, which is very intense, but very powerful. And that's where we heal all the ancestral, cultural, society, and familial trauma in 5 hours. So we actually look at everything. I tailor it for you and look at it. Then I also have a 4-month program where this is the most powerful and transformational program like you'll ever see. Like it really is. You just transform. Like I have clients that are now in loving relationships. I've had clients who've got married. I've got clients who have gone on to do the PhD they wanted to do, but were afraid to. I've got people just loving themselves and just being like not giving like care what people think. So the way it kind of works is we have to go back to trauma. So we have to look at all areas of your life. And most of the time we haven't studied ourselves. We study everything else, but not ourselves, right? And so we have to look back at who you are, what are your patterns and your conditionings. And then once that's clear, that's part of the VIP day again, then we start to learn how to love ourselves. But we have to look at the patterns of how do we love ourselves? Like, is that generational? Where does that come from? And then heal it. Then we've got to look at how you can hold boundaries. Again, why are you struggling to hold boundaries? We look at that, we look at the past, we heal it, and we create a new relationship. Then we look at your inner child, because she, you know, her needs have not been met. She doesn't even know that she exists right now, because we've conditioned her from such a young age. Like when we were younger, we were free, you know, we'd run around, you know, in the fields and be like, la, la, la. But then as we've got older, we forgot to listen to her, and she lives within us. And the reason why we're wounded is because her needs are not being met. So we then bring her to the surface and help her to be heard. And then we learn how to flow. Because again, as I was mentioning earlier, we are taught to be alpha men, which is just so wrong. Like we are women for a reason. We have femininity for a reason. We have emotions for a reason. The divine, God, universe, whatever you want to call it, gave us that. We need to embrace it. And when we embrace that, we have less anxiety and stress. We then learn to trust ourselves. But then we need to learn how to nourish ourselves. And then I teach like how to nourish yourself. We look at your history of nourishment. Again, what was it like in the family and how we can replace it. It's a really long process. There's 8 parts to it, but basically every stage helps you to get to more closer to your intuition. It's never about me telling you what to do. It's about you trusting in yourself. And that's something that's so important to me, because that's how I grew up being told what to do. And I love just helping women to realize that you can trust in yourself. We just have to go a bit back to the past, and then we move forward, but in a healthy way.
Amazing. Okay. I love this. You mentioned how we are then, as we get older, taught to be alpha males, or told to be. So I think this is a nice segue into talking about sort of the differences between masculine and feminine. And I know that there's both of this in all humans, but can you tell us a little bit about the differences in these energies?
Well, actually, one of the sessions in my programs is about the masculine and the feminine energy, right? So this is something I didn't understand growing up, and I think most of us didn't until like the last few years. So we grow up and we're like, we have our emotions as kids, and we're like, you know, we're quite like, you know, up and down, and we feel what we feel and we say what we feel. Then we get to school and they're like, no, you need to toughen up. And then we get our job and then society, and it conditioned that we start to be conditioned. But the thing is, we all have masculine and feminine energy, but there's a wounded masculine and there's a healthy feminine. So the wounded masculine and wounded feminine can be in men or women. But you see, when they're wounded, that's where we like bleed from our heart, when we're in pain and stuff, and we have anger or jealousy or rage. That's the wounded side. But there is healthy masculine, feminine energy. So you can, when you're working, be in your healthy masculine stage. But then also when you need nourishment, you can be in your healthy feminine stage. So we have to look at where you are in your relationship to masculine, feminine energy. And most of the time, my clients are more in their masculine than the feminine. So we have to really slow them down and find how can they nourish themselves. And so you know, when I say nourishing, I don't mean like taking a bubble bath. What I mean is like when you, with the feminine energy, believe it or not, boundaries is part of feminine energy, not masculine energy. Which a lot of people don't realize, like the boundaries are there from the feminine, not the masculine. You know, it's having that respect for herself. But again, if you weren't taught that growing up as, you know, from your mom, then how are you going to know that? You only probably would have seen boundaries from your dad, not your mom.
So just to kind of simplify it a little bit, because this might be a concept that some of my listeners are only just being introduced to. When we talk about masculine energy, the way I think about it, it's sort of like productive, active, like go get it, like do the things. Yeah. Whereas feminine is more receiving mode and like, as you said, nourishing. So am I simplifying it too much? Is there anything you want to add to that?
No, no, that's perfect. Like, you know, with feminine energy, you can work in your feminine energy, but it's allowing yourself to tune in with it. So you might be used to like crazy deadlines and running around, but then there could be a moment where you're like, okay, I want to slow down. That's the feminine talking to you. And you can take your time and you know, there's no rush. Feminine is not about rush. Feminine is about being in the present moment.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And the masculine is all like, go, 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 get deadlines done.
And I think it's probably worth just reiterating that these energies are in humans of all genders. So it does not matter if you are a girl, you can have masculine energy. If you're a boy, you have feminine energy. So it's just a matter of recognizing it and trusting which one is the one that serves you in the moment.
Oh, 100%. Like I didn't even know myself, Peggy, that I was so much in my masculine energy until I got sick back in 2015. I had a kidney problem and I had to surrender. I had no choice. Like I had to grieve the old me and I had to grieve the old masculine way of just working crazily. But then when I embraced my feminine side, I realized I could work at a pace that felt right for me. And that's the key. When you allow yourself to receive the feminine aspect, that is part of our DNA. That is part of who we are as women. And we don't need to overwork and overburn ourselves out. We can just work in a very calm and connected energy where we're not rushing.
There's something about this that makes me feel like it's very relevant to women as we go through midlife. And as you know, this podcast is the Midlife Improvement Project. I think for many decades, a lot of the women that I talk to, and myself included, have been go, 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 very much in our masculine, as you described. And there's something magic that happens when you wake up to this time of life and get to decide, what do I want to do with the rest of my life? What do I want to be when I grow up? And that can bring in the feminine, bring in the receiving mode, bring in the, like, as you say, the pace that I want to work at and do the things. What are your thoughts on the awakening of midlife as it relates to this?
Oh God, I see it all the time. I'm in my mid 30s as well. And so I see women just waking up. Like I was actually talking to a former client last night and she was just like, she's turning 35 and she's like, I'm ready for a calmer life. She's like, what have I been doing the last 20 odd years? I'm like, exactly. Like we think we need to chase for everything and get this, to, you know, success to this age. But actually there's no timeline. You know, we can take it easy and we can flow. And I think when you hit your midlife, like crisis, I call it, like honor where you're at. Like look at the achievements that you've already made. Like, my God, you've achieved more than most women probably in your lineage. Like give yourself a round of applause. Like that is so important. We forget how much we've achieved, you know, from a young age. We've achieved so much. Like give yourself that grace to have that time. And, you know, if you're not sure where you're heading in life, give yourself that moment to just sit still and ask yourself, what do I need right now? And what would my future look like? And just be in the present moment.
I love this so much because it's like a time when we can finally ask ourselves and trust ourselves instead of being told by the people around us and society and culture, this is what you do next. You get to decide now.
Yeah. I think it's that permission word, giving yourself the permission to receive whatever it is that you want. And you're always, you know, at perfect timing.
Definitely. Yes. What's meant for you won't miss you. That's a good one in my mind. Why I love this, and I want to explore this a little bit. You have said on your website, and I'm guessing on your podcast, that inner peace is the new rich. Tell me about that.
Yeah, like, you know, we can make so much money and be so successful, but if we don't have peace, then what's the point? And I've spent my whole childhood, like, seeing people, like, I saw people who had not a lot, and I saw a lot of people that had so much, but even the people that had so much did not have peace. they would buy the next item and the next thing. And you know, I did that in my, when I was 25, like this was back in 2012, I would buy all the latest things and then I wouldn't be happy. And I'd be like, well, what's the point of it all? Right. You know, the key is that we can have it. I'm not saying that we can't have those stuff, but we need to love ourselves first. And that is the peace from within. When we allow ourselves to really give ourselves that peace, then everything else is joyful. Everything else is abundant. Everything else is a gift in life. But when we're chasing for something, there'll never be peace. Because if we don't have peace in ourselves, how can we reflect peace outwards?
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. I'm all for inner peace. I'm getting it. I want it. Let's do it. One of the things that I know that you help your clients with is relationships. So sometimes women struggle, especially to let go of toxic relationships. So can you tell us a little bit about that? And then also maybe this might be related to, and you can tell me if it's related to, and if it's not, we can ask it next, the father wound.
Ooh. Yeah, of course it is. Father wound is all, well, you can have a father wound and a mother wound, right? But the father wound is the biggest wound that women have in their lives. So relationships can, so how can I put this? Your first ever love is your father. So whatever he sets the tone of is how you see relationships with men. So if your dad didn't give you that love or attention or that support or raise the standards and gave you gifts, for example, then you're going to just have breadcrumbs from a guy. You're not going to be treated with respect. And, you know, I understand this a lot because I had a father wound and I was in a very toxic relationship a while back for many years. But, you know, I have done so much work on myself and I didn't even realize it was a father wound. Until like I noticed the patterns and the, you know, it's this, the similarities between him and my father. So whenever there's a similarity between like the bad side, I'm not talking about the good side. There's good qualities in our parents, and there's also the not so great qualities. But if there are more the toxic qualities of what your father had, where he didn't give you the love and support and attention or made you feel safe, you're more likely to have a father wound. And so with my clients, a lot of them have father wounds. And so we would like literally dissect it and would see what happened growing up to them, or like they might have had a stepfather who wasn't kind or was abusive. And then we really heal that relationship with themselves. And then what I mean is you don't have to go to that parent and then be like wanting to forgive them. It's really down to you what you want to do, whether you want to speak to them or not. It's totally down to you, because I don't believe in forcing people to build connections. But we heal it in a way that you don't have to actually go there and like say how you're feeling. And then we honor it. And then we allow yourself to actually meet yourself and father yourself and mother yourself the way you weren't growing up. You know, you might not have had those qualities of your father, you know, growing up, but you can give it to yourself now as an adult. Then that's going back to the inner child. We give her the love and the nourishment that she deserves that she didn't get. But again, yeah. So there are a lot of women who ended up in like narcissistic relationships or toxic relationships. And again, that could be linked to the father wound.
Okay. I think this is an important conversation. I'm sure we could talk forever about it, but why don't we leave that there for a second? Because I want to also talk about that inner child, that young version of us who was told to be the good girl. I think this is good girl conditioning, especially if for women who are, you know, high achieving and have done all sorts of stuff in this life. They have a lot of this good girl. And I'm wondering what your thoughts are on how can we let her go? Or how can we, first of all, recognize what that is and then let it go?
Ask yourself like the questions, what was it like growing up for me? Why do I feel the need to people please? Why am I sacrificing? Who made me sacrifice growing up? When was the first moment I felt like I needed to people please? Was it for a sibling? Was it for a parent? Was it for a teacher? And you kind of need to kind of just dissect what it was like growing up for you. Sorry, what was the question again? My brain's just
So basically, and like I'm actually interested in the people pleasing aspect of it as well.
Yes.
But and I'm sure they're related, but I'm just curious to know, for people who have not heard this concept, because not everybody's heard about the good girl. So
right,
we can talk just a little bit more about what exactly is that? How does it start? And then once we've recognized it in ourselves as older humans, how can we let it go?
So the good girl starts it from a young age where she doesn't feel accepted by her parents or some situation, whether it's in school or friendship circles. So then she tries to people please in order to fit in. But what she's doing is actually sacrificing herself and her needs. So she'll give everybody else the love and support attention, but forget herself. And then she doesn't know how to receive. So therefore she doesn't take any support. She'll put on a show like everything's okay, I'm fine. But inside she's a hot mess. And so the good girl will always put others ahead of herself, even if it's to the detriment of her own health and her own well-being. And that is a conditioning that happens from such a young age. Like I said, if you were made to feel not good enough, or, you know, you might have been a bit quirky and your parents didn't like it and they shut that down. It could be somebody said something to you in school again. But a good girl is somebody that is trying to control the narrative, funny enough, but doesn't realize it because she wants everyone to like her. So therefore she puts on a show to make everyone like and, you know, say, oh, she's such a nice person. You know, it boosts her self-esteem when someone says that. But actually what she's doing is she's denying her needs and denying society who she really is and people who she really is because she's afraid to rock the boat. That's what a people pleaser is. And then what happens is as she gets older, she is the perfectionist at work. She's the one that needs to control everything. She makes sure everything's in gear. She makes sure everybody else is okay. But again, she'll smile, but inside she's hurting and there's a lot of pain there. So yeah, it really does stem from your childhood. It can stem from the father wound. It can stem from the mother wound. A lot of the times we don't realize that we are craving attention. That's what it is. We're craving attention from others. So therefore we put on this show to be something we're not.
This is so related to something that I talk to a bunch of my clients about, and also that I've talked on this show about a lot. There's a study that showed that when you ask a woman, especially a woman in middle age, to prioritize a list of 5 things, she'll prioritize them as her children, her pets, her elderly parents, her spouse, and then finally herself. And I think it's very related to what you're talking about here. So I am very much of the opinion that when a woman puts herself first, everyone around her benefits. And I think what you're talking about here is like, once we learn about that, maybe there's an easier way, or it's once we become more self-aware of how this conditioning started, we're more able to let that good girl go and take care of ourselves first. So then everybody gets the best of us instead of us performing for everybody else.
Yeah, 100%. And it's okay to be angry. You know, it's okay to grieve the version of what you thought you needed to be. Like when I first realized I was a good girl, I was mad, Peggy, right? I was like, God, what have I been doing to myself? Yuck. Like, how dare they treat me this way? And how dare, but I allowed it, right? And that was something I had to realize and I had to honor that. But feel the anger. I'm not saying, you know, carry on for years and be angry at everyone, but just honor your anger because, again, as women, we've been raised not to have anger. You know, we need to be this good girl and smile, even if we're in pain, and put on a great show for everyone else. So honor your anger, but then ask yourself, what do I need? You know, what can I do right now to make myself feel heard? And you just need to sit with yourself and ask yourself questions like, why was I people pleasing? Whose attention was I wanting? And actually work with a therapist or a coach or somebody that can help you, because sometimes it can take us a long time to figure out what's happening. But when we've got support, it's a lot easier to get the guidance and to really heal quicker.
So it's so great when you can get insight from some of these concepts in why you are the way you are, and then take action moving forward with like a different outlook. I just feel like you're exactly right. When people get some help from somebody outside of themselves to give them the mirror to show them, it's magic.
Well, I did it by myself for 7 years and I do not recommend it.
Exactly.
It was the most painful time of my life. And I learned, no. You need support and guidance.
Well, and that's the same with me. For the most of my adult life, I've been sort of like that self-help girl, like listening to all the things, reading all the books. And I did well and I made some really great progress, but probably my biggest progress was made once I hired a coach. So there's something really magic about working with somebody to help you with this. So that said, and I do want to ask you this. You talked about how you work with your clients. Obviously, the people that listen to this podcast know how I work with mine, but there are people that are listening that don't necessarily have the resources now to hire somebody. What would you recommend for those people as they're starting this journey in learning to know some of these concepts about themselves and to start their healing process?
So I have a freebie on my website, which is discover the number one block that's holding you back right now. And there's an audio that goes with it and a booklet. And that actually asks you several questions about what's holding you back. And there'll be stuff ancestral in there, cultural, society, familial in there. And it will just help you to start to understand yourself better. It's actually quite powerful because it'll be the first time you've actually sat with yourself and gone, oh, that's why it happened, because dad did this or mom did this, or, you know, when I was younger, this is what happened to me in school. So that is probably a great starting point if, you know, you're struggling right now to get the support. It will start to help you to open up the channels of what has been holding you back for so long. And then you can carry on, but in your own time, like asking yourself questions like, how can I, you know, heal and see what comes up?
Okay, amazing. So I will put a link to that in the show notes. And also, I know that you have a podcast of your own. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yes. So it's called The Inner Light Project. Gosh, I've had it for many years. And it's all about people in the self-help world who have healed from amazing things in their life, from health conditions to, you know, people-pleasing patterns, like self-love, and then now just living their authentic lives. I've had so many amazing stories on there, and I just love sharing other powerful people who have overcome horrific things in their life and they're now living their just abundant life.
Amazing. Awesome. So once again, if anybody's interested in that, you said it's called The Inner Light Project.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. And then I'll put the link to that in the show notes as well. And also, there's going to be people listening who just think you're fantastic and they want to learn more about your work and or how they can connect with you. So do you have a place on the socials where we can direct them?
Oh, sure. Yeah. So on Instagram, I am good. So that's IAMGURDS. If you type my name in Google, actually, it comes up quite a lot. GURDS Hundal, which is GURDSHUNDAL. But you can just go to my website and reach out and have a chat with me.
Okay. Amazing. Do you have any final words of wisdom that you want to share, or the one thing that people should take away from our conversation today?
I think that when you allow yourself to heal your trauma, you're healing your life. But also when you're allowing yourself to heal, you're healing that inner child and you're allowing her to finally be free and be whoever she wants to be. You know, you do not have to pretend to be something you're not. You are here for a reason. You have a gift. There is something authentic about you. Allow yourself to let her play out and let her be received by society for who she is. You don't have to be this, I can't even put it into words, like, dim version of yourself. Like, you are the light. Be the light and honor it.
Amazing. GURDS, thank you so much for being here and sharing your story and your wisdom.
Thank you.
And that's it for this episode of the Midlife Improvement Project. Thank you so much to my guest today, GURDS Hundal, for sharing her story and her expertise. I hope that it has inspired you to trust yourself more and remember that you are powerful. If you get the feeling that I might be your coach and you are interested in learning more about me and my work and perhaps how we could work together, especially as you navigate the challenges and adventures of midlife, why not sign up for a complimentary chat with me at drpeggymalone.com/coach. We can have a conversation about your goals for the remainder of 2024 and how I can help you to reach them. In case you want to take somebody else's word for this process, here are some kind words that my client Arden shared after working with me. Working with Peggy was an experience I thought I would never allow myself to have. It was such a treat to take a moment each week to focus on me. Peggy helped me to realize that I need to take care of myself first and foremost. The best part about working with Peggy is that she focuses on clear, simple solutions to help you reach your goals. She is understanding, compassionate, witty, and has an approach that allows you to feel confident in taking new risks in your life. I was able to pinpoint the areas that I wanted to carve out for me. I organized my family life, my finances, worked out a fitness plan, decided on a new career path, and felt overall healthier. I am forever grateful to Peggy. As I begin my next chapter, which is life after 50, I will continuously reflect back on Peggy's wise words, guidance, and continue to create certainty. I highly recommend taking the leap and working with Peggy. There are some things in life that are priceless, and for me, having Peggy as a life coach was one of those moments that will pay me back countless dividends. Okay, thank you so much for those kind words, Arden. If after hearing those words, maybe you're thinking to yourself, I'm not sure yet. So if you're not ready to hire me as your coach yet, but you are curious about what I'm up to, I'd love it if you would come and say hi on Instagram. You can find me there at Dr. Peggy Malone, and that is where you will find me discussing my life as a 50-year-old who likes to snowboard, back handspring, and also to encourage women like you to find what is fun and adventurous for you in midlife. As usual, you'll find all of the resources and links that were mentioned during today's show in the show notes at drpeggymalone.com/podcast. If you enjoyed today's show and you don't want to ever miss an episode, you can subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you usually listen. Until next time, my friends, stay focused and get after it.